and assure success.
Show that's all about insulting psychology. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, I've just put up my latest video, Mr. News Hates John Banks. Wait, Mr. News Hates Mayor John Banks. The Mayor of Auckland, New Zealand, is probably one of the worst scum, filth, whoremongers, pardon my French, in the city. And every time that I have encountered him with my camera, he has provided me with video evidence of such. And so I decided that that I had to do a montage of that scumbag. I showed it to to Mitch, our producer, and he's like, oh my god, that guy just, oh. What is the desired effect of the video? I mean, obviously it's made with a wee bit of propaganda, sorry to say. You know, I've cut little bits out there and here just to kind of make it flow a little better, much like Michael Moore does. You know, it doesn't really matter about timing or anything like that. But the fact remains, still not a very nice guy. And supposedly, he's still going to lose the Super City election for mayor quite substantially. Which I will be quite happy about. What about you, Will? Will you be happy when John Banks loses the mayor election? Probably not, because he'll just be replaced by some other scumbag.
You picked it.
I hate being right all
afternoon,
the time.
Afternoon, everyone. Morning to our New Zealand listeners. John Banks is a piece of trash. He's going... there'll be a replacement, and he'll work for the UN. His name's Len Brown, and he'll be a left-wing piece of trash instead of the right-wing one. So, oh well.
Yep, it hits you from one side of the head rather than the other, which is quite convenient, really, just so that there's a bit of balance in the corruption. Oh my goodness, I'm just so upset. Today is an important day. It's the last day of voting in the Auckland elections. The last day that you can put in your vote for Penny Bright. And if we're lucky, she may be joining us here at a later stage on the show today to give us a wee bit of a breakdown about how the election campaign has been running for her and what's going to be happening after it, because of the fact that, hey, even though the election is rigged, even though it's all just a big freaking scam, even though we're all going to be ripped off to no end, there's no point giving up, and Penny is going to start a citizens' rights revolt to get all this illegal trash repealed. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back.
Well, there's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
Leggiadro viso il viatore.
Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show. I can't say it enough. I love doing the show. Well, one of the reasons in particular is that we get such positive feedback. The listeners don't like the show at all. They really love the show. And I find this very interesting. Because, you know, I don't put that much effort into it, to be honest. What I do instead is I rely on the good information, the good research, and the hard work of good people that are far more skilled in their particular fields than I. One such person is a public watchdog who I've known for a very long time and is probably what I'd kind of point out as one of the examples of what a citizen can do with a little bit of grit and determination and being entirely self-funded, not being a corporate stooge. Her name is Penny Bright from the Auckland Water Pressure Group. And, well, Penny, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will.
Hi, Vinnie, how are you?
I'm good. I'm sorry to get you up this early in the morning, love, but I wanted to talk about this Super City election. Now, it's coming to a close as we speak, and you've fallen sick a couple of times during your campaign, coincidentally enough, and it's been a little bit more difficult for you than, say, well-funded trash like Banksy. John Banks, yeah. The mayor, but I wanted to get your take on the campaign as they come to a close.
Well, it's been an absolutely fascinating exercise, and I'm not quite sure whether this has actually been done before, where you actually put yourself up and stand as mayor of a structure which you're actually campaigning to undermine and unravel the protest vote from hell, and it's been an absolute investment of time and effort, and I would absolutely recommend that people in different parts of the world use it as a tactic. Here it only costs $200 to stand as mayor, and there's hundreds of thousands of candidate booklets that go to every, you know, one that goes to each voter, where you have a chance in 150 words to put your point of view. So that goes out to everybody. But there's no doubt about it. If you're one of the millionaires looking after the interests of the other millionaires, you certainly, money talks. And what happens is you can actually help get ratings in the polls, and then you can end up getting mainstream media coverage based on the polling that you've got because of all the money you've put into, you know, lettering everybody's letterbox, etc. I mean, my God, if I'd been able to spend $500,000, oh, yeah, I think it would have been an absolute shoo-in, to be honest. Because as far as the mayoral campaign has been concerned, when we've actually had mayoral debates that have involved more than what mainstream media have pre-selected to be two horse race and the only two in it, I've been getting a huge reaction from people because I'm just telling the truth. And I mean, a real basic issue that I'm striking home on is I just say to people, well, as far as the super city, this great amalgamation of councils in the Auckland region. We've been through this exercise before 20 years ago when we did have a functioning Auckland regional body and we did have functioning local bodies called borough councils, and you paid your rates and you got your services and it wasn't dysfunctional, it wasn't broken. And
in fact, I believe one of the people who's involved in the old borough council model just before it was taken away and given to the private contracting model, they were just on the verge of giving a rate give back because they'd collected too much money from the surrounding community and everything had run cheaper than they thought, so they gave the people their money back. When was the last time that anybody anywhere in any part of the world has ever received money back from council because they did a job too cheap?
Well, that's exactly right, because so that's what happened. basically a lot of greedy business people thought, oh my God, there's all these services that are provided in the house by council workers. We could make some money out of this. So this great myth was created, public is bad, private is good. And so the difference between Auckland 20 years ago and now is the thousands and thousands of private contractors have got their snout in council troughs. And, of course, the aim of the super city is to get rid of thousands of little contractors and replace them with fewer but bigger multinational contractors, friends of those who are in power. It's a
Can I get this straight? In the beginning, what we had is we had citizens taking responsibility for their own community, paying very low amounts so that the council could keep everything upkept, right? And then what we went to is a private contracting model. So instead of one people who were getting all the stuff done and all the citizens participating in it, it was instead now just council and just contractors. And now what we're doing is we're eliminating the council out of it and just putting the contractors into the monopolistic control that the council used to have. It's like one step, two step, three step.
Pretty much. I mean, what used to happen, work used to be done by council works departments, because this is probably the same all over the world. Municipalities, I mean, footpaths need repairing, the water and wastewater pipes will need fixing, trees will need trimming, grass will need mowing, basic council services. I mean, there'll be planning and various functions, that it's just common sense. As soon as you get rid of the in-house council staff and you have contractors, not only you have got two lots of piggies in the middle. The first lot of piggies in the middle are the contractors, the profit going to the shareholders who own that contracting company. I mean, it's not going to the people to get their hands dirty. It's going to the ones who sit on their bum and get their money through their bank account. That's where the money goes. The second lot of piggies in the middle is this huge layer of bureaucracy and another lot of the contractocracy that's set up to administer all these council contracts. And a couple of weeks ago, I received in the mail this inch-thick Eastlight folder, which is absolutely platinum. It was an Official Information Act reply from Auckland City Council, which gave a lot of absolutely devilish detail about a number of contracts with Auckland City Council, and it shows some serious problems with how contracts have been managed. But what really got me was one page where they showed there's up to 38 different documents that can be involved if you involve private contractors. And it's like you wouldn't need any of them if they were directly employed by council.
My suspicion is that when you're doing a whole lot of fraud, the trick is to make things look really complicated so people who start investigating give up.
Well, one thing that this documentation revealed was Auckland City Council, there was supposed to be a central file of council contracts, which is sort of common sense, but what happened was, in February, at the town hall, I stood on my hind legs back in 2008, and I told the council and council staff that I was disputing and refusing to pay Auckland City Council rates because the CEO wouldn't tell us where over $855 million was going in private sector contracts, and he wouldn't give the name of the contractor, the term, the value, or the scope of the contract, reckoned that it was commercially sensitive. This is after the contracts were let. Well, goodness me. So I gave them a copy of my letter of dispute and basically said, well, you'll have to take me to court because I'm not paying. I believe we've got a right to this information, and why aren't you being transparent? And so what happened was the very next month, I find out that there was what they call a probity audit across a number of departments of Auckland City Council.
Oh, and that sounds invasive.
Well, what happened was it was organised because there's, as far as like auditing contracts and stuff is concerned, there's two bodies. There's one that's made up of council representatives, the elected representatives called the Risk and Audit Committee of Council, and then there's this Risk and Assurance group that's made up of council bureaucrats, basically. And what happened was the council bureaucrats risk and assurance group did this, organised this probity audit, and what they found across all the council departments that they did a spot check of, each department had a problem where a number of contracts were being kept just in that department. They weren't being put in the central file. Like, how on earth can you check if things in a proper way if they're not all going in the right place? Just basic stuff. And there were other things that were shown to be wrong as well. Like in one department, there were payments. There were a number of payments going to the same address, but there was serious mistakes that could end up looking like fraud. It was just dynamite. And then what happened, what I found out in these documents was there had been a huge fuss about footpath contracts. There were 10 contracts that were going to be signed off back and ended up being signed off in 2009, totaling nearly $120 million, 10 contracts. And what happened was that there'd been this outside consultant company that had been bought in to do due diligence and act as probity advisors. Now, this is a real problem because people who act as probity advisors and are involved in the process are not then supposed to act as probity auditors and then effectively double-check their own work. And this happened. And that's like a number of these big accountancy firms. There's a big contradiction between providing consultant advice to clients and then auditing. You know what I'm saying? You cannot independently check your own work. Sorry, major conflict of interest. Anyway, so fascinating. So what I found out was that with this footpath contract, there had been a big story or number of stories in the local in the major Auckland newspaper, and there'd been allegations of conflicts of interest and a person who had used to work for one of the footpath contracting companies was now in a position where they were helping to hand out the contracts and someone had got a ham and just dodgy stuff. And then the council obviously panicked, and then what they said was, we've got this meeting on the 25th of March 2009 where we're going to have to sign off these $120 million worth of 10 footpath contracts. Oh my God, we need a probity audit to assure the public that things have been done in a proper way. But the only problem is this was 2 weeks before they were going to sign it off. And if you are going to have a probity audit, you're supposed to appoint a probity auditor at the beginning of the process so they can go through and monitor the process at various steps along the way to make sure it's been done in a proper way. Well, you don't appoint a probity audit 5 minutes before you bloody sign off the contracts. And what happened was...
They do it through a contractor.
How cute is that? So what ended up happening was on the 24th of March 2009, there's a probity audit report, but guess who did it? The same group who'd been the probity advisors for 7 out of 10 of the contracts. Hello?
Oh, that's not a conflict of interest at all,
no,
Penny. What are you talking about? You're just getting worked up over nothing. You're a conspiracy theorist, all right?
Well, the thing is, have you ever heard of a company having its own personalised signature? Who signs this probity audit report, basically saying that everything was okay, was the name of the company. This company, which was called Christmas Goland Limited, the signature was Christmas Goland Limited. Have you ever heard of a company having its own signature? And this is the probity auditor? I've discussed this with some, with chartered accountants who go, what? And, I'm being really flat out, but this needs to be followed up. I mean, I've got a lot of loose ends at the moment. I've been a bit of a busy girl, but most definitely intend to follow that up because what happened then was I did some more research and I found out that there had been meetings of the risk and audit committee of council where they had feedback from this risk and assurance bureaucrats group, but all the minutes, it was all under confidential. But what happened was, about four of these meetings, there were staff there from the Office of the Auditor General who were allowed to stay behind when everyone else was excluded. Not that probably anyone came to the meetings anyway, from the public. And they were allowed to be there because they had, like, specialist knowledge. Well, what happened was, the Office of the Auditor General, they also did an investigation into these footpath contracts, and guess what? They signed it off as everything being okay, including the probity of the exercise. Now, it's a pretty sad day when your statutory third party, the Office of the Auditor General, that has paid public money to make sure public money is accounted for in a proper way, is in actual fact part of the cover-up. How bad's that?
The corruption couldn't be more obvious, and it speaks to me that if that kind of thing is going on with officers in the government on that higher level, that it's a symptom of a much deeper rooted problem and not an isolated incident whatsoever.
Well, that is the case. I mean, what it proves to me is, I mean, don't forget, New Zealand, according to Transparency International's Corruption Perception Index, is supposed to be the least corrupt country in the world. Well, I'm sorry, but arguably, if that is the case, we should be the most transparent. So if we don't know, as citizens, where hundreds of millions of our public monies are being spent on private sector contracts at local government level, how's that transparent? And the same with central government, because the same thing happens there. I mean, New Zealand's got about a $65 billion central government expenditure, of which about $30 billion is procurement. And so you don't get the devilish detail at central government either. Contractors, it's all about contractors. Same in the states, all the contractors that that are involved in the military industrial machine and the war, you know, the Halliburtons, etc. Where is the money going?
We don't know, and they certainly don't want us to. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Penny Bright, the Kiwi public watchdog, on the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. And we'll be right back after the break. To the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, where we like to, shall we say, get a little bit of the boot in to these scumbag politicians that reckon that they are our rulers, not our servants. And I think that perhaps the old adage of slavery, you know, like bound in manacles and whipped in public when they don't do their job, should apply to politicians, because I think it would be quite nice, you know, to just sit in public square, seeing John Banks getting his back whipped and getting his nice $2,000 suit all tore up by the cat of nine tails and have the glass and stuff sticking into his back as he goes, "Oh, no, it hurts me." You know, like a dying sugaring chicken. That would be fabulous. But I don't wish death or pain upon John Banks. I just hope that it happens without me having to do so. Now, speaking of which, inflicting pain on John Banks, I made a video of him yesterday. You know, it's just absolutely inspiration, a moment of inspiration. simply had to just document just how much I really, really dislike this guy. And I'd like to talk about it, Penny, because, you know, you feature in this video quite heavily, and you're there during a lot of these cases. And what's your perspective on how John Banks kind of treats me?
Well, he probably treats you with a lot more respect now, actually. Because I think he's got a better idea of what you're about. It's more based on probably fear and publicity than anything else. But there's no doubt about it. I think you've been doing a great job in helping to get the message out to the public. And, yeah, in the end, they do end up having to respect that, because if politicians understand one thing, it's votes. And if it can have an effect on their votes, suddenly you become a lot more significant.
I have doubts that I have much of a sway on the voting general public just at this point. I suppose in a very selfish way, I do want to be able to have influence on what the public dialogue is, specifically because there is no real dialogue going on in the public sphere at the moment with regards to media, is there?
Well, absolutely not. In fact, a friend of mine has made a complaint, which has ended up in the hands of the police, because what's happened with this election, it's a postal vote. People got their voting papers on the 17th, of September, so arguably from the 17th of September till the day that the votes are counted on which is the Saturday, the 9th of October, that is a polling period, and what the media shouldn't be influencing candidates and doing polling at this time where they say it's only a two-horse race and this one or that one is going to win. That most definitely influences voters. And so what's happened is my friend has made a complaint on making that exact point, because on like a mainstream TV, it was on the close-up show with Mark Sainsbury, and again, you're saying it's a two-horse race and et cetera. It just cuts out everybody else, and they actually don't know what's going to happen. And the only poll that really counts is the one that our scrutineers will be double-checking on Saturday. So what's happened is it's actually been referred to a police inspector who's referred it to the police legal team, which is a very interesting development. And I know there'll be a lot of people and candidates that will have very strong views in support of this action, because it's not fair that media are deciding who's in and who's out. It's up to the electors to decide, not the media, and they most definitely can have an influence.
The media has a specific role, and it's to provide information so that the voters can make up their minds. And I don't believe that I qualify, because my mind's already made up, and I'm almost insistent about what people do because I know the issues, right, or claim to. Mm. But I don't claim to know the issues inside and out. What I do is I know the people who do know the issues inside and out, and ask what their advice is on things, you know.
Well, it's interesting because back in 2001, what happened was after that Auckland City Council election, I was one of 10 petitioners. We challenged that election, and that had never been done before. And the reason why we challenged the election was because, as I say, we found out that these Auckland citizen and now candidates had signed secret candidate loyalty pledges, which is very clear, and they supported the privatisation of water through public-private partnerships, the most common form of water privatisation. Yet they were putting out thousands of leaflets and letterboxes to the public saying that they were opposed to water privatisation. It's like, well, hang on, how on earth can the public cast an informed vote if politicians are knowingly misinforming the public about their policy? So what happened was I made a complaint to the electoral officer, who's still the same one we've got now, actually, because making exactly that point. And what he said was that that he didn't have the power to investigate a complaint, that it was an offence for politicians to lie, and if I wanted to do anything, I needed to contact the media. then I just happened to check the local Electoral Act myself, and then I found out statutory duties of electoral officers. He did have the power to make a complaint. So what happened was, it was only about 3 days before the election closed, so I contacted the Wellington Police Commissioner's office down in Wellington, and they referred me back up to Auckland, to the Auckland District Commander, Howard Broad, who's now actually the Police Commissioner. And he's actually trained in law, and he reckoned that he sweated over it, but he had a look at the legislation himself, and his famous line on that, it was lawful, albeit politically risky, for candidates to misrepresent their policies. And so it's like, what? So what happened was that after the election, me and...
Hold on a second. It's okay to lie to get in power as long as you understand that when you get into power that you may lose it because you lied.
No. No, you don't lose it if you lie. This is the whole problem. And this is something that I believe is generic, and it happens all over the world. You have a situation where there are no consequences for politicians who lie in order to get an office. I do know this issue having challenged in an election, and it's unbelievable but true. And what happened was that it went to court. First time, absolutely unprecedented court case, and what happened was we told the truth, the politicians lied, but what happened was that the district court judge, he upheld that it wasn't an offence this was the police district commander, it wasn't a, it wasn't an offence to breach the principles of the act. And basically, it wasn't unlawful for politicians to lie. I mean, I can send you a copy of the court case. It was unbelievable. So if you...
No, I think it's totally believable, Penny.
I mean, well, seriously, though, because when you talk about democracies, if politicians can lie in order to get a job as politicians, and there are no consequences for that, and the answer is to throw them out at the next election, well, you can get another lot of lying politicians. And it's just an endless mouse on a treadmill thing that one lot lies, they get dumped, another lot get in, telling a pack of lies.
Maybe we could exploit this, Penny. Maybe your next campaign slogan should be privatise Auckland, run it by business, for business, enslave the people, impose Agenda 21. That could be your party line. and I guarantee you, you'll get in by a landslide because people will come out of the woodwork to fund you so well, Penny. And then when you get into power, you can pull the old switcheroony on them.
The only problem is I have been described as being pathologically honest by an ex-cabinet minister, which I thought was rather a compliment. I mean, only a politician could think that was a bad thing, eh? Anyway, so I don't quite think that'll be one of the things that I'll be doing. But what came out of that was we ended up getting thumped, $18,000 court costs, which was a massive amount of money for us. We told the truth, they lied, and we got thumped. But, anyway, we sort of got over that one. But what a lesson, because you learn so much by having a go and doing something. My God, do you learn things. Yeah.
Yeah, I've learned a hell of a lot about Banksy and all of our politicians by ambushing them. And you kind of learn to know how they think, how they argue. And it's actually quite simple. After you've experienced them a few times, you realize that that's how shallow they are. You can figure them out very, very quickly. They're not complicated individuals. They're just plainly corrupt, disingenuous scumbags.
Well, you see that the main mayoral candidates in the super city election, they've been pretty much working off spin doctor's script. And so what happens is when you speak with a forked tongue, it tends to dilute your message. When you're not, you can speak very powerfully and if you're speaking from the heart, but if you're not, if you're trying to remember what your spin doctor told you, your last told you to say, then it's quite a different delivery. And I tell you, at the mayoral debates, I mean, I think it's fair to say, you know, most of them have been really cleaning up. Because, like, like one of the key questions that I've been putting to people, just look at your... There's never been any cost-benefit analysis since the last lot of council amalgamations 20 years ago. There's never been any cost-benefit analysis of the contracting out model compared with council in-house service provision. There's never been any cost-benefit analysis of this council-controlled organisational, you know, this corporatised model into which 75% of Auckland regional rates are going to be paid. So do your own cost-benefit analysis.
What they were doing in these mayoral debates as well. We've got like Andrew Williams, the guy who's running North Shore at the moment, saying, oh, well, you know, the super city's going to have terrible bureaucracy, blah, 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 blah. And I say, well, sir, 85% of council monies go into the contractocracy, okay? And you're worried about the remaining 15%? And the odds are stacked against us because 75% of all monies is going to go into these unelected and 100% unaccountable CCOs, council-controlled organisations, supposedly, okay? And the Super City Mayor will be able to do jack to affect the outcome. So the odds are stacked against the 100% of Aucklanders who never had a say.
Well, that's exactly right. And what's coming out loud and clear. I mean, I've been calling this a corrupt corporate coup, and what I'm actually finding out, the more research I'm doing, it is an incestuous, intertwined nest of corporate vipers. That's my considered opinion. When you look at the who knows who, the different links that these business people have between each other. It's just unbelievable because the driving force behind this Auckland Super City was basically a group called the Committee for Auckland, and it's an unelected group, invitation only, CEOs of major companies. They've really focused on corporate and bureaucrat Māori to help sanitise the appearance of this Committee for Auckland, so it wasn't just, you know, the old white boys' club. And also corporatised charity, like the city mission and the Salvation Army, which are now sort of making money out of dysfunctionalism, using it as a profit, basically as a business. And it doesn't matter whether it's these NGOs. It doesn't matter who's on there and how well-intentioned they are. What people have got to beware of, it's where's the money going and where's it heading? Because in New Zealand, for example, care of the elderly used to be provided by... it got devolved to churches, and now it's run by multinational companies.
What a coincidence. And it's the same story over and over again, isn't it, Penny? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Our special guest is Penny Bright at pennybright4mayor.org.nz, and we will be right back after the break.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face, all when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on?
We are back.
I'm flying AFK. My heart goes boom, boom, boom.
It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, live from the future. It is Friday, 10 minutes till 8 a.m. in the morning. We are early bird, us Kiwis. And, well, you've been pretty quiet there this show, mate. Are you doing all right there?
I'm doing just fine. It's just letting you and Penny have the floor, you know. Sometimes three's a crowd.
Well, I doubt it very much. Because
hey, Penny,
you.
How you going?
I have got so much trouble to make, I won't ever die.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I like about Penny, ladies and gentlemen, is she's just basically a the bully's bully, if you will. If somebody is a bully, Penny's the one who bullies them. You know, makes them look silly, makes fun of them, calls them out, down trowels them to a certain extent. And I like to just kind of, I don't know, I've made more pennies for more, you know, bit of a Freudian slip there. More videos
more
for
pennies.
More
pennies, you say, Vinny.
Yeah, money, absolutely.
Money. Oh, damn it.
Yeah, I make pennies off Penny, I'll tell you that. And I've made more videos for her than any other person, I think, during my entire stint as Mr. News. And I was introduced to this lovely woman about, 2 years ago, Penny, by John Eisen of Uncensored Magazine, who sponsors this show. And I find the interesting thing is, Penny, we kind of cover over the same ground quite a lot, don't we? Because these issues, we fight very hard as much as we can. I mean, me to kind of give activists exposure and that kind of thing, and you to expose the actual scumbags that are perpetrating the bad stuff. But they always come out with new and amazing intricate ways to deceive us all and enslave us all, don't they? You know, and it's just like the price of freedom is truly eternal vigilance, you know. That's what I've realised. And just in a short space of time, 2 years, it doesn't matter how you defeat them, they'll always come back in another way. So it's like you can't relax, can you?
Well, looking on the bright side, and I can't really help that, I'm a bit genetically hardwired that way, but I believe we've made tremendous progress over the last couple of years, especially on the anti-corruption front. I mean, New Zealanders didn't even have a clue what corruption was, you know, misuse of public office for private gain. That's the guts of it, because they've been so,
dumbed down and brainwashed and just she'll be right, mate.
Well, just into thinking that that we are supposed to be the least corrupt country in the world, and it's this happy little rosy glow that people have had around this country. But when you actually start pointing out some of these major things that are happening, I mean, look at, you know, how many collapsed finance companies have we had? Is it about 30 now? How could that be happening in a country that did things in the proper way?
Yeah, and then what does the government do? It puts in guaranteed loans for all these corrupt financial institutions, doesn't ask for a single share, and then they set up KiwiSaver, so most people are automatically opted in to give money to these finance companies as their savings whilst they're collapsing around them.
Well, yeah, that's a fair point, but another one that really gets to me is that when it comes to public money, where is the due diligence? Because as you know, I mean, I did a lot of research and found out that nobody had ever done any form of cost-benefit analysis for this council-controlled organisational model, which up to $28 billion worth of Auckland regional assets are going to be placed. And I've got a letter with a New Zealand Treasury letterhead on it, basically saying that they never did one. Well, I've taken great delight in bailing up these businessmen or business people candidates and say, well, you're a business person. Now, how on earth would this work in the private sector if I wanted billions of dollars of your private sector investor money? And I said, I've got a business plan here, best thing since sliced bread. It does this, that, and the other. It's absolutely marvellous. Now I want billions of dollars of your money. Well, surely to God, you know, you'd have the brains to say, well, yes, Penny, it sounds very good. But have you got any facts or evidence to back up your business proposal? Nah. Well, how on earth is that okay for public money? Billions of dollars worth of public money. No due diligence has been done. And so what I'm really looking forward to is, no matter what the outcome of this mayoral vote, or well, this election, the vote being counted on Saturday, the bottom line is that the Auckland People's Resistance Movement, I believe that we will help to formalise that, to help force the repeal of this legislation that set up the super city that we never had a say in. These have just been the warning shots. The campaign is really going to get underway, whatever happens. I mean, I'd love to be the mayor to help lead a rates revolt, to help undermine this structure which I'm supposed to be leading. I think that's been done anywhere else. But, yeah, I rather look forward to that one. But if it doesn't happen, well, I tell you what, I've said that at mayoral debates, that this Auckland People's Resistance Movement, it will be starting up. And my boyfriend was in the audience and he saw the person that's supposed to be the one who's most likely to become the mayor, Len Brown, and his face just fell. Because if he thinks it's all over once the votes are counted, oh, I'm sorry, it has only just begun.
We've only just begun to screw with you. Freemasons and promises. Oh, God. Hey, but that's good though, isn't it? Because there is no point having a corrupt government if you can't mess with them all day, every day. You've got to do one thing every day that scares you to make sure that you still know that you're alive, that you're still brave, that you can still fight, that you can still get off your knees and stand on your feet and say, no, I'm not going to let my country or my city or my people be taken over or enslaved. Thank you very much. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Our special guest is Penny Bright, and we'll be right back after the break.
The virus, alert the masses.
Fastest 2 hours in talk radio in the world. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I would probably say my considered opinion, the best, well, and certainly the friendliest and most full of exciting content network that I've ever encountered, you know, surprisingly enough. And yeah, I'm just a paid student. I can say all that. Yep. Now we've got Penny Bright, who's running for the Auckland mayoral candidate team here, and I wanted to shift gears a little bit and talk about the international implications here, and because this subject that we've been divulging into here, and I just wanted to kind of give a brief summary while we're here on this short segment. It's happening everywhere, and it ties into Agenda 21, which Will knows a little bit more about than I. But it reminds me of this article that came out of Associated Press, I think, the Urban Tranquility Program, where basically you'll be taxed a heck of a lot if you don't live in the strict urban cities in slave blocks where all the rents are really hiked up, so it's really expensive to live, and everybody basically is just tightly surveilled and controlled. Nobody can afford to have their own transport, so it all has to be public transport. And things like industrial agriculture, roading, and medicine will no longer be, quote-unquote, sustainable. And this kind of operation is happening to, almost every city all around the world, in one form or another, is currently being subjected to the whims of the UN under Agenda 21 to bring in a, quote-unquote, post-industrial society, i.e. a feudal serf-slave society. And this is something that we're fighting against. The corruption that we talk of is not isolated. They're just testing New Zealand, okay? We're a perfect testing ground, so-called first world nation with so-called first world media, general apathetic population, just like the rest of the world, because we're all doped up on fluoride and dumbed down on mass media. So what a perfect place to test out agendas. And Penny, wouldn't you agree that it's working to a T? People are lapping it up like kittens under a cow udder.
well, in actual fact, I that's why I think this mayoral campaign is quite significant.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, cause it's the public face of the fight back. Yeah,
but it's internationally significant because this is the fight back against the Rogernomics neoliberal model. It's time to roll back Rogernomics, and the implications go far more than local government. This also,
yeah, indeed. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will. We'll be right back. From the future, 10 past 8 a.m., October the 8th, it is Friday, local New Zealand time. Those of you stuck on Thursday afternoon, don't worry, Friday's just as bad on the other side of the dateline, so you can be comforted that there are people who are just as depressed as you. Now, speaking of depression, the controlled collapse of the economy is looming. And what I see here is a nexus of different legislation being passed. So on the one hand, we have municipal parts like cities, regions being amalgamated and being put under private control. On top of that, we have anti-terrorist allegedly, legislation coming in to prevent people from doing any kind of a fight back at the same time that banking legislation is being introduced to basically throw all our money away into these deep, dark pits of debt. This is all happening simultaneously. And I'm quite concerned because, there's so many fightbacks coming back in every single sector, right? And I hear a lot of good news coming out of activist groups in the United States where they're fighting legislation against, say, vaccines and things like this. And many state sheriffs are standing up and they're taking back their communities, and some incumbents are being voted out. And it seems almost as if that this good news is few and far between. Whether or not that's a product of the fact that they are few and far between, or whether or not it's just a lack of reporting, I don't know. But it still remains the fact that I'm still quite concerned about the state of the world right now, and the safety of the people that are fighting to restore freedom, like people like ourselves, Penny.
Well, the thing is this, what I know happens is there's like a ripple effect, and that I believe that the issues that have been raised in this election campaign in Auckland, that the ripple effect of this is not just going to affect New Zealand, but can be can have an effect internationally as well. Because, like I say, I believe that this, it's time to roll back Rogernomics, roll back this neoliberal model. And I believe that people are actually taking heart from the idea that they can actually do something. Because before I was standing in this election, I think a lot of people thought it was done and dusted. It was too late and we couldn't do anything. And my line, as you know, my reply to that one was, well, thank God when the Nazis invaded France, the French resistance just didn't wring their hands and say, oh, it's too late, we can't do anything. And what I've been saying at the mayoral debates is, when the Nazis invaded France, whose side would you have been on, the collaborators or the French resistance? And it's like donging people on the head with a softball bat, because mayoral candidates such as Len Brown, he has used the word collaborator as if it's a good thing. Well, in this context, to collaborate with a corporate takeover is not going to be good for anybody except the corporates.
Indeed. So and speaking of which, you can also check out our Kiwi Collaborators section on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, where we have collaborators like Penny and Tim Selwyn from Tumeki and all of those people. But anyway, sorry for interrupting. We'll go right ahead.
No worries. On the subject of independence running, Penny, I mean, other than yourself, who else do you think is doing a good job out there, a genuine sort of person?
Well, not being rude, but when you look at the real line in the sand, which is not left versus right, it's public versus corporate, there is no other candidate that I know, either at mayoral level or standing for council, that has the view of that we need to repeal the underpinning legislation. We have to organise a fight back to repeal the underpinning legislation. None of them, to be honest. The ones who have the word vision in their name, I'm sorry, but they don't actually have a vision. They don't. And what's happened, especially if you look at the track record, it's so filled with broken promises and the public being let down time after time, where politicians have been elected promising to do certain things or vote certain ways, and there's just been such a track record of sellout. And like I say, because there's no repercussions of promises, if politicians don't keep their promises, so you've got it both ways. I mean, politicians can lie to get a job and there's no repercussions, and then once they get elected, they can fail to carry out their election promises and there's no repercussions there either. Unless
I totally agree.
Take action, you know. So
I totally agree, Penny. That's why with yourself, it's a safe vote, because you have a track record, and we know Penny's not going to change overnight. You know, that's not going to happen.
Well, that's exactly right. But the concept is, after whatever happens tomorrow. Oh my God, it's tomorrow. It's nearly there. Eek! How fast was that? But I mean, what I'm doing, I'm going to ask people to or suggest that they follow my lead, because I'm revolting, and I suggest that people follow me. I've actually run out of things not to pay. I am disputing and refusing to pay my water and wastewater bill. I'm disputing and refusing to pay my Auckland City Council bill, and I'm disputing and refusing to pay my ARC bill. Well, here I am. Am I in prison? No. Is my house sold? No. So the thing is that I can actually provide evidence of the effectiveness of that action, because with Auckland City Council now, as a result of my one-person rates revolt, you can go to the Auckland City Council website and you can now get the name of the contractor, the value of the contract, who signed it off and when it was signed off. Now, that's massive, because that's why I refused to pay my rates, because we didn't get that information. And with all the kicking and screaming and petitioning Parliament and finding out what other councils were doing, which was just as lacking in transparency as Auckland City Council. I mean, I contacted 85 councils all over New Zealand and got 65 replies, and I asked them, well, which one of you gives the devil's devilish detail the name of the contractor, the term, the value and the scope of the contract. 65 out of 65 councillors who replied, none of them made that information publicly available in the annual reports. Well, now we can, well, it's not in the annual report, but it is on the website. So that's a huge step forward. And that's a one-person rates revolt. So imagine what thousands of us can do.
And it's you did right, Penny. But to play devil's advocate, just going back to the previous point about the other candidates and who else might be grassroots and truly of their word, I mean, I tend to like, and I know people are going to question the backing of this guy, some of the financial goings on, but I tend to like, as a person anyway, a guy called Colin Craig. And I tend to think that he is anti establishment in some way. He's against water fluoridation. Well, he's pretty radical.
Well, he's not actually. I'm sorry, but he's an entrepreneurial businessman, and that on its own should put you right off. The other thing is that he has made a big deal about campaigning for democracy and for referendum. Well, excuse me, why isn't he standing to help force the repeal of the underpinning super city legislation? Because that's the biggest travesty of democracy of the lot. And he is going along.
He's against it, though.
No, he's not.
He wanted a referendum to throw the super city model out.
I've been, I don't know how many mayoral meetings with him, and he has never said that he wants the repeal of the underpinning super city legislation. Mm. No, he's not.
He's just not brash enough. Eh? He's not brave enough.
Look at his background. I mean, at the debate we had with the students, when he explained, you know, again, he's an entrepreneurial businessman, I said to the students, I said, that's the last person you want as mayor. It is the business model that stuffed Auckland up in the first place. And that's the reality, because there's a huge difference between the public service model and the private business model. The business model is all about making money for shareholders. And people who come from that entrepreneurial business background, what the hell would they know about serving the public and the public interest? They're there to serve the interest of shareholders and make money. It's a completely...
Do you think all business is bad business, though? Do you think that all people who are interested in making money are interested in selling the city out? Can't you have sovereignty and money-making at the same time?
I am fundamentally opposed to council services being run as profit-making businesses. We never had a vote on it. The reality is that the point that I keep making to people is, over the last 20 years, have your rates gone up or down? Because if efficiency meant value for money, then this business model should have resulted in you having your rates go down, and it's been the total opposite. I am adamantly opposed at both local and central government for essential public services being run as profit-making business, and I will
totally
die in a
agree.
Well, that's what you've got. And I mean, what's happened is, I mean, I know that when I'm being effective, when I see my words being regurgitated in other mayoral candidates' stuff, including, for example, Colin has picked up on the fact that back in the days of the old ARA, Auckland Regional Authority, we had a thriving regional body that built roads, dams and bridges and ran the public transport. It wasn't broken. You had local borough councils with a city secretary, city engineer and a council works department. So when the tree fell over outside your house, you rang the council, the office, and they sent Joe down in the truck with a chainsaw and chopped it up and put it on the truck and off you went. Well, now... My God, I mean, it might take you a week to get someone, and if they're doing the contracting in a proper way, what they've got to do is get three quotes and blah, 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 and then someone comes around with a chainsaw. Well, their job's to chop up the tree, but, it's not their job to sweep up the branches or the leaves. That's somebody else's job, all that sort of crap. And meanwhile, the person that's actually putting the tree on the truck, getting their hands dirty, they're not the ones who are getting the $70 an hour or whatever it is that the contractor's being paid. That the majority of that money is going to the piggy in the middle private contracting company, the shareholders. Well, I am totally opposed to that model.
I'm also cutting out the bureaucracy and cutting out the middlemen and state service shouldn't be a profiteering racket at the taxpayers' expense.
The same thing works in many different ways. Like once upon a time, I was a security guard, and the company that contracted me out was paid $50 an hour, and I was paid $10 an hour.
That's far too much, Vinny. My main planks has been that why shouldn't the public majority benefit from our public money? And not only at local government level, central government level, look at all the changes in welfare. I mean, we've got another lot of Rogernomics war on the poor. They're really wanting to crack down on social welfare beneficiaries while we have this rampant hemorrhaging of money going to corporate, you know, corporate welfare beneficiaries. And who's checking? Nobody's doing any cost-benefit analysis of the effectiveness of having all these consultants and private contractors. And so my simple solution to that is, where possible, cut out the contractors, cut out the consultants, and there'll be hundreds of millions of dollars that can go back to ratepayers.
Shouldn't they want a smart business person who's interested in running Auckland for Aucklanders? Shouldn't that be what they stand for also?
No, because the reality of the business model is that this is what people have been brainwashed to think, that the business model, the more efficient business model, that is going to be better. You should run the city like a business. Like hell you should, because when you actually do the research, you find it's all about contracts, who's got the contracts, and how can they get the contracts. And the more research you do, you find out right now, that's what councils are all about. Contracts, contracts, contracts. And the super
senior... But it's either corporate control or government control, though, right? And I mean,
they're not both as bad as each other. I disagree with you that they're both as bad as each other, because the track record is, if you look at back in the days before the Rogernomics reforms, when we used to have a Ministry of Works, that used to provide major public works. But then you had this myth of the guy leaning on a shovel and smoking a cigarette, and that it was inefficient. Well, in between leaning on the shovel and having a cigarette, which you're entitled to do at smoko time, there was a hell of a lot of public works that were built in New Zealand, and the public have benefited from that. I mean, why should that now all be run as profit-making businesses and multinationals take money for doing that work and go overseas to a very small, rich minority? How on earth do we benefit from that? It is happening, but it's that, what I'm saying, it's that business model. And what I've done is I've bailed up, like I say, a number of these business people who are standing for mayor or council positions, and as I say to them, you're a business person. You know, again, how is it proper there's been no cost-benefit analysis? And I bailed up this guy, Tembi Powell, whatever his name is, and he would not answer me. And to me, it should have been a no-brainer. Of course there should be a cost-benefit analysis. It is an absolute no-brainer, but he wouldn't give me that answer because he knows I'm right. I bailed up this guy, Alex Sweeney, the head of Heart of the City, which is the Auckland Central Business District group, and they just look really uncomfortable because they know you're right. It's not okay to embark on putting billions of dollars of public money into effectively an untested model. It is not okay. It wouldn't be okay in the private sector. And these people are business people. They should know better. But of course, if they can get their snout in the council trough and the dollar signs light up in their eyes, I mean, what do they care? They're not in it for the public. They're in it for themselves and their bloody rich mates, and that's it. Honestly, it's not complicated. In the Auckland region, it's all about democracy for developers and democracy for bloody contractors. And we, the public, are just going to be relegated to the role of a giant cash cow. All pay, no say. Well, no way.
Does anybody out there want to purchase some magic beans off the government? You know, it's patently ridiculous. I mean, and Well, as far as resistance to this model is concerned, you're focusing very much trying to turn this mayoral race into just an attention grabber for a race revolt if, in fact, you don't win the mayoral race. And at this point, you know, sorry to say, it doesn't look likely, but I voted for you anyway just because it needs to be done. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and our special guest is Penny Bright, the public watchdog, and we'll be right back after the break with more corruption.
Must be some kind of way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there to drink my wine.
Oh, goodness gracious me! The poor Bankster scumbags are trying to do naughty things to us all, and we're all going to be enslaved. Oh, yes. I love being a slave, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it's just so fabulous, you know, to see my country be taken over by the worst kind of scum filth. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It makes me feel so safe and accountable. Oh, goodness. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. And we've also got Penny Bright here as well. The old super city and all of this societal difficulty that we're having with the electoral process. It's a process. It's not actually anything that you can really contribute to. You know, I think it was Mark Twain that said, I wouldn't vote for fear it would only encourage them. And this is what I really, really don't like, is that people get disenfranchised with the voting system because every time they vote for somebody, they get betrayed.
I'm having to force myself to vote this year because I think it's such a absolute BS load of junk, to be honest. The whole process. I'm having to force myself this year.
Well, the really important issue here is that people never had a binding vote on the structure for which you're now electing people to be part of. I mean, that's the reality, was that under our New Zealand Local Government Act, Section 24 reorganisation proposal, Schedule 3, subsection 49, poll must be held. We never voted on whether or not we wanted our councils abolished and replaced with this giant corporate takeover super city. Back in 2005, citizens in Banks Peninsula, the district council there, they got a binding vote on whether or not they wanted to amalgamate with Christchurch City Council. And it was a binding poll of electors, not a bloody referendum, which is just an opinion. It was a binding poll of electors. And that, under the law, is what we should have had. But what happens is that Parliament is sovereign. You cannot hold Parliament accountable to the law because they have the power to change the law. But it is a sovereign power that should be exercised with restraint, and it wasn't. We got this Rogernomics blitzkrieg for this corporate takeover, and that's why people need to take a stand. And we'll be making history here because never before in the same term of government have they repealed legislation that same government introduced. So what? It's time to make history. Come on, folks. And what I believe that we're going to do is shine the spotlight on New Zealand. I mean, we're the country that hatched this devil spawn Rogernomics model. So don't you think it's appropriate that we should be the country that leads the way in rolling back this model?
Yeah, I mean, New Zealand geopolitically has a lot of interesting characteristics, you know. I mean, we were the first to have the construct of a cashless society with what's called EFTPOS, and now we're possibly EFT. And what's happening here with our electoral process and the takeover of all of our assets and the switch from the public to the corporate model and the slow institution of what I find very ironic about it is it's like a combination of fascism and communism, all right? Like the corporatists, who are the fascists, take over everything, get all the control and get all the profit, and then the rest of the people are treated like communists so that they can socialize all their debt and be the cash cow for the corporatists, right? It's like a combination of left versus right, where both the people that are standing on the left and both the people that are standing on the right that aren't part of the corporatocracy benefit zilch, and in fact seek to only have their standard of living reduced consistently as time goes on, like the frog in the boiling pot. And I think just about now, I'm about to flip my lid. And I think I'm not the only person in this country who's just gotten fed up with the government trying to take over all of our, trying to take all our rights away. Okay?
You're right, Vinny.
We've got freedom of expression in this country. And if those filthy, dirty scumbags, I don't care whether you're in Chicago or in Auckland or in Canberra, Australia, okay? Stop lying to people. Stop stealing the stuff off your own people, okay? Because the New World Order is going to do the exact same thing to you. I'm also talking to all the intelligence agencies listening as well here. The New World Order is going to kill you. They are going to enslave your children. They are going to rape you forever, all right? Both literally and figuratively, I assure ye. Don't
see, Vinny,
mince words yet.
The big secret is, what most people are unaware of because of the constructs we've grown up with, is that the system geopolitically doesn't really care what sort of philosophy they have to use on the ground. They have to sell to the average slave to...
Hello?
They have to sell to the average slave to do what, Will? Oh, we seem to have lost Will there. We'll just drop him and then bring him back up momentarily, please, if that's at all possible. Anyway, moving on. I think what Will's trying to talk about here is that both sides are completely up to their neck in all of this, right? They're both totally corrupt. They both have no credibility whatsoever. Okay, they really don't deserve your vote. They don't even deserve your attention, actually. And this is what I find interesting, is that if you sit down and you're watching TV, where is all your attention directed to? To these mainstream, corrupt candidates that are all funded by the same banks to scum that want to ensure that you don't survive the New World Order. You know, I mean, come on, people. It's not frickin' rocket science. Turn off your television. Cancel your cable. Start watching Mr. News videos at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. All right? Yeah, or even go to Penny's blog, waterpressure.wordpress.com.
Yeah.
Okay? And there are innumerable websites out there, Infowars.com, Rens.com, DavidIke.com. Amazing amounts of information are available out there, so you can actually make your mind up based on decent information. Okay? Straightforward, and periodically enough, they happen to update every single day. So you're not missing out on anything if you're not watching television, because the only thing that gets put up on television often enough is what a distraction is. Okay? Whereas if you want real news, if you want real information, if you want somebody who's not just some pathetic scum, okay, you need to go searching for the information independently, okay? And in so doing, you take away the credibility of all of these corrupt media institutions that have been deceiving you all these years, okay? They're in a bankruptcy crisis, and they know that alternative shows like this, the alternative to the alternative even, are skyrocketing in popularity because people are sick to death of being lied to. Just like any candidate like Penny Bright here, who in fact even gets any public play at all, receives huge attention because she's telling the truth, because people are sick of the lies, okay? And it's patently obvious to me, because I experience this on a daily basis, just how much people are upset by what's happening.
I think the key thing
Vinny, to make it really simple for people, the big line in the sand to me is public versus corporate. And it doesn't matter what issue, but you will get that same dividing line. But the main thing is to encourage people, think for yourself. And two really key questions to ask in relation to any issue are these. One, where is the money going? Two, who is going to benefit from this? And if you apply that to any those three things to any issue, you will start to cut through the crap and get to the heart of a matter very, very quickly. And they're all interlinked, these issues.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. The thin veil of secrecy and the thin veil of lies is quite easy to penetrate. And, you know, websites like IntelHub.com and, you know, even GorillaMedia.co.nz, we do penetrate that thin veil of lies, okay? And it's not that hard, really. It's just that unless somebody seems to provide you with the answers and provide you with where the proper place is to look, a lot of people just kind of like glaze over and just say, "Oh, it's too hard, man. That's a heck of a lot of research. That's a heck of a lot of reading to try and find out the truth. Can't you just tell me what the truth is and show me the way?" And that's what websites like Intel Hub do. You know, they give you the really good stuff, and. I don't know in particular how to destroy or defeat the New World Order or to take back control of our public offices by voting in people who are trustworthy, because so many people and I'm thinking that this is probably one of the most annoying problems. So many people can be pushed to a point and they have a price, and they sell out for it in the end. And those are the people that we wind up electing.
Well, that's what's come across loud and clear in this election campaign. And the point I'd like to remind people is words are cheap. What you need to look at is what are the policies, and more importantly, what's the track record? Because you can get these people that come in and they sound really good and they look really good. And, you know, ones like Colin Craig, for example, they say, you know, talking about you don't want the same old, same old. But what people don't realise is that, well, I think more of them are starting to realise that he is same old. Because if you're still pushing this business model, if you're not trying to make a stand on behalf of the public to repeal this corporate takeover, you're part of it. If you're not trying to oppose it, you are part of it. You're helping to make it happen.
And he to me, though, that he was he admitted to me anyway. I'm not sure he's brave enough, you know, as you are, to actually come out against these guys publicly. But were you there, Vinny, when he said to me how he totally was against the Super City ever coming into place and wanted to repeal it if he ever got into power?
I don't remember specifically. Did I get it on camera or was it on...
I think he was standing next to me and we're talking to him on the street at that protest, and Garth McVicar was there and all those guys.
Yeah, well, we got that one on, we should have had that one on camera, yeah. I mean, I'll check, have a look back. If you go to March for Democracy, Mr. News.
No, I don't think we've got that bit there, man. But you can have a look. Yeah.
But bottom line, again, words are cheap. Something said on the side for a couple of people at demonstration, I mean, how easy peasy is that? I mean, when you've stated it, which he hasn't, on any of his electioneering pamphlets, the letters he sent to people, I mean, I read other people's stuff very carefully. I have never seen or heard, and I've been to heaps of mayoral debates that he's been at, I am standing to help force the repeal of the Super City legislation. He's never said that.
Well, he's pandering to a conservative. He's pandering to those typical idiot conservatives, though, you know what I mean,
who can't
handle anything out of the box. And
he's
so
a millionaire, property developer. That's where he's from. I mean, with all due respect, I mean, he's not an ordinary person who's struggling. He has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on his campaign. I have, to be honest, I'm not quite sure why. I mean, you know, I very much doubt that he's going to win. But, I mean, often what happens is that people This is not why I'm doing it, but make a stand for the Auckland mayoralty, and that leads on to other things politically at central government. I mean, that happened with Sue Bradford, that happened to Tira Ture. You know, that's like a bit of a track record there. So if you're going to put a lot of money... Well, you know, I'm not saying that that's his reasons, but you do it for a reason, and I'm not quite sure what the reason is. But I've bailed. I mean, you know, he's quite approachable and all the rest of it, but I've bailed him up on this. Colin, if you really believe in democracy and referendums, why are you not campaigning for the repeal of the legislation? Because that's the biggest travesty of democracy of the lot.
He knows he won't get votes on that amongst the demographic he's going for. He knows he'll never vote for him in the places.
Yeah, but I mean, but the point is, well, he's not being honest then, is he? I mean,
that's the crux of the issue. I mean, I see what both of you are getting at. You know, you've got to be honest if you want to be an honest politician. But the irony is, politics has become so dishonest that in order to be an honest politician, you've got to lie to everybody. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Back, ladies and Joes, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio, bro. I'm so lame. And I've been talking to my girlfriend about this, and she said, Vinnie, you're so lame. You come up with all these really lame jokes. It's a wonder people don't hit you. And I said, yeah, I know, I'm amazed.
Yeah. You're doing all right. You're doing a good job.
Yeah, it could be worse, you know. I could think of myself a god and be trying to, worship Satan through my local Freemasonic lodge and then try and take over a country.
I guess it was filling your day. Did I tell you the latest development? You know how I was denied access to going to the mayoral breakfast forum that was organised by the Auckland Chamber of Commerce.
Was this the one you paid for, and then as soon as you got permission for, and then when you turned up, they said, no, we can't allow you to come in?
Well, that's exactly... I hadn't paid for it, but I'd followed their process, which was to register by email, turned up on the day with my $80 cash to cover the cost of the thing, and then the same person, the events manager, who I'd been discussing the process with the day before, turns up looking really flustered and basically ended up denying me access. And so I went straight round to the Human Rights Commission and laid a complaint. I was fuming. And I told her at the time, I said, there's going to be a huge fuss about this. Don't you threaten me, she says. I said, I'm not threatening you. I am promising you. Anyway, I've kept my promise. What's happened is that I came back after I'd laid a complaint to the Human Rights Commission as the people attending the breakfast forum came out of the lifts, and I bailed up the chair of the Auckland, the CEO of the Auckland Chamber of Commerce, who was really quite nasty, and he's the deputy chair of the Auckland Regional Council. And this is what really concerns me. People that who've come from this business background, they end up getting elected to these public jobs, you know, what should be public service jobs, and this is how they, you know, this is how they act. Disgraceful. Anyway, so I went to the Human Rights Commission, and I told this Michael Barnett that I'd made a complaint, and I'd named him as well. And what happened was the Human Rights Commission said you need more evidence, and suggested that I contact the chair of the Auckland Chamber of Commerce, which I did. And he, and of course, I do my open letter thing. I'd like to give this as a piece of advice to people. It is hugely powerful. If you do an Official Information Act request, is to open, make it an open letter, and you copy it to all MPs, all media, all councillors, like heaps of people, so you are publicly asking the question, and it puts massive pressure on. So what happens? I get advised by the Human Rights Commission to raise my concerns with the chair of the Auckland Chamber of Commerce, which I do. And I get a reply back from him saying that he thought this was a matter for management, not a matter for public debate. In other words, he hates the publicity. And he was going to talk to management about it. So I sent an email back to him, an open letter, where I said I thought that was excellent, but by the same token, I didn't agree that it wasn't a matter for public debate, and I openly copied it again to all MPs and all media and heaps of people, because I think it's an absolute disgrace that not just as a mayoral candidate was I not invited to speak, but I followed their process and I wasn't allowed to even attend. Now, what sort of Mickey Mouse discriminatory outfit is this Auckland Chamber of Commerce?
The kind of people you want running your corporatised city, I should believe.
Well, it's there'll be big ripples from that, and that is not over. But I think it's been the source of some embarrassment, because what I did, I actually found the email addresses for all the executive staff of the Chamber of Commerce, so I copied them in, so they can see the world is being told about what happened, so that they'll learn, wrong woman. And when this public watchdog growls, you better listen, because when I bite, I'll rip your throat out. So we're at the throat ripping out stage now. I say that in a caring way.
a friendly, caring, loving Christian way. I would say, just on top of that, the fact that you do these open letters and you make things public, the one step above that, which I think is far more effective, to my mind, is video. And I think we should probably get you outfitted with a little pen camera, Penny. It could be the Penny Cam.
But my thing is that I do believe in, you know, the open, honest, transparent thing, so I would not feel comfortable doing that unless I was sort of letting people know about it, although I know that at certain times to actually have that covert sort of surveillance thing from a public point of view can be very helpful. It's not quite my style. The sneaky stuff is my style.
Yeah, who's on the secret society guys like Banks, though? That's fine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, if you don't respect other people's privacy, your privacy shouldn't be respected, methinks. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Our guest has been Penny Bright, the fabulous public watchdog, pennybrightformayor.org.nz. If you want to check out her stuff at waterpressure.wordpress.com. I'm Vinnie Eastwood at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and the Intel Hub is coming up next. Thank you very much for joining us this Friday, and we'll be back tomorrow.